Welcome to This Offensive Line.
Welcome to another episode of This Offensive Line. I am Sponge and I am joined by...
Mrs. Sponge.
Hello and welcome to the episode where we are going to talk about the conference championships where we got the two teams that will play in the Super Bowl this year. But first... we have some news to talk about away from the NFL as well. Just want to bring this one up. The big news that broke today in the world of F1. Wow. So, yeah, you alerted me to this one straight away with a very confusing text message of, did you hear about Lewis Hamilton? And I was thinking, no? Has he died? What's happened? Like, that was my first thought. I don't know why it was my first thought, but that was my first thought. I was like, has he died? And then I went and looked it up and I was like, oh, he's going to Ferrari. Yeah. So that was
very interesting. To be honest, because what I got was a text message, which was a screenshot and of a notification from Sky Sports that says Lewis Hamilton to join Ferrari 2025. Now, obviously, I thought, well, okay. I need to text you this. Like, am I being fooled? Like, this, I mean, come on. Lewis Hamilton going to Ferrari. I did not see that coming. I know you said there's been rumours about it and there's been murmurings and all that, but I think everybody's seen Lewis finishing his career at Mercedes.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't know how well that's going to go down. Plus, as well, for the fact he still has another season to drive for Mercedes. So does that mean he's already put the next season down? That it is done? That literally then Mercedes only have George driving for them? Because then I feel bad because...
No, I don't think that's in his nature. I think he'll still try and race as best as he can. I mean... you don't want to be like, oh, yeah, I just want to finish the season so I can get away from the team. I could be like...
yeah, but then he can just blame the car. He can just say, well, this wasn't working for me. That wasn't working for me. Porpoising?
The bouncy.
Too much of being a kangaroo in that car. He can do that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he can find ways to nitpick. Cause, I mean, I swear almost every single interview was... bad after every race. Like, he almost had nothing good to say about the car last season. Now, yes, it wasn't a fantastic car by any standards, well, especially Mercedes standards.
Yeah.
But I mean, the scrutiny in it, and I don't know. I want to know more. I feel like because you don't know the full story, it took, what, like 12 hours for a statement to be released from the teams.
No, I don't think... well, roughly. Okay, we're not... right. It was later on in the evening.
Yes.
After the morning shock. I got another message that just went, I did not have this on my bingo card for this year. Which was an interesting one. I think he'll obviously give it his all. He overperformed. He beat George last year. He came third in the championship himself. So he did very well for him. It wasn't up to the standards of what they typically are.
I think in the second half of the season, he managed to bring it back.
I think the big thing is he's not seen the improvements that he would have hoped to see coming into this season. And he doesn't see the development being there fully. And then he sees what Ferrari have done and McLaren have done. Now, obviously, McLaren is fully booked driver-wise. But I think, would have thought McLaren might have been a opening spot if they had a second driver spot available. He might have went to McLaren as well because he was with McLaren before they split to go to Mercedes.
So end where you started.
Kind of, yeah.
Full circle.
But obviously Ferrari is a heritage team in F1 that's like the, even now it's still the team that you think of when you say F1.
True.
Like, you've got Red Bull and Merck who have dominated the last, like, 15 years of F1. But Ferrari are still the... They're like the Dallas Cowboys of F1. Where if you talk about the F1, you're like, oh yeah, Ferrari. They've got F1 cars. And as Enzo Ferrari said in the video that we're watching, if you ask a child to paint, to draw a car, he'll paint it red.
Red, yeah.
It's the Ferrari way. So it's an honour to drive a Ferrari, obviously. That's why Vettel done it, because Schumacher done it.
True, and Lewis, obviously.
Lewis wants to do it as well.
Schumacher was his idol.
Yeah.
Growing up.
So, yeah, there's a lot of things of emotional things there. It's very interesting. It starts the season off before it even starts.
Yes.
So it'll be very interesting to see where Carlos Sainz goes as well.
It'll be interesting as well to see how he drives.
Yes.
And what he does. Because I think last season he was getting really peeved as well.
Yeah.
Because he was getting put as, like, well, he was technically classed as the second driver. Charles was the first driver, and yet he was at times being better than Charles, and yet that wasn't being portrayed forward. He wasn't getting his effort back, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
In a roundabout.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Saying, yeah.
So it'll be interesting. It'll obviously be interesting then who goes, because who did they say? I can't remember. On they had a couple of, on the YouTube video you showed that we watched, they had a few people. One of them was Ocon. I think Ocon was one of them.
Esteban.
I don't see Ocon being in a Mercedes.
Mick Schumacher is a possibility. He's the reserve driver in Mercedes.
I don't know.
Albon, Alex Albon. Again, I don't think so, but I could see it more than Ocon.
I don't know. I don't know about Mick. I think a lot of people might favour Mick, but I think the only name gets him far. But the only problem is with the name, he is then under that spotlight of his dad.
Yeah.
And that is possibly...
It's a lot of pressure.
Because his dad set titles after titles, although technically these titles aren't his anymore. The majority of them all now belong to Lewis.
Yeah.
But it is hard to do that. It is hard to be under a figure like that. So, and I don't know. I don't know. I never really seen Michael Schumacher race. I've seen him race.
Yeah,
when he came back. But that wasn't, I don't think that was it. That wasn't really the Michael Schumacher. That was Michael Schumacher.
Yeah.
So.
Absolute legend. Obviously, Carlos Sainz is also a possibility for Mercedes if they just went to swap. He has released a statement in the last
Carlos Sainz?
10 minutes. Carlos Sainz. Following today's news, Scuderia Ferrari and myself will part ways at the end of 2024. We still have a long season ahead of us, and like always, I will give my absolute best for the team. News about my future will be announced in due course. So, yeah, I mean, he's got to drive next year. It just depends on
which team.
So
that'll be interesting as well, because obviously as well, is one thing that, the main thing today was the fact that it was only rumoured to be. Like, for ages, it was rumoured to be, and then this is where I started thinking it was starting to be a hoax. That somebody spilt the beans. Like, somebody's taken this and gone, right, let's see how far we can get with this. And let's run with it. Because nobody had anything. So it was very interesting. And I think this is a leak. None of these little fake leaks that I hate nowadays. It's not a fake leak when you actually give people information to actually put out there. You can't have, like, thingied sources.
Yeah.
Like from Apple.
I think so the rumour has been in the journalist circles for about a week from what I believe. So Will Buxton about 5 days ago said there's big news coming towards the end of the week. If it gets out, this is probably going to be really big news.
What, and somebody's gone, right, I bet it's Lewis to Ferrari.
Here's a list of Ferrari. I think someone within Mercedes has gone to the press.
You think it's somebody in Mercedes, not Ferrari?
I think so. I think they're just like, right, let's get ahead of it. Let's get out there. And then we'll do everything on the back of it. Because this way, it gives you, like, you know, oh, Lewis is leaving Mercedes. They kind of have a free pass this year as well. It gives them a free pass.
For the fact that if the car is actually rubbish, because that has been a thing as well, Lewis's face in the car where Mercedes posted from the test, was it like a testing session or whatever
so
it was?
Yeah, like a fitting session and stuff, and the reveal of the car
he
is coming.
Look too happy.
Doesn't look happy,
in it.
No.
So have they now, then maybe they have used that as an excuse. We have lost Lewis. He is not fully 100% part. This is why we're doing rubbish.
So we'll see.
Although Ferrari made some money off of it, their stock prices went up.
Oh, yeah. The amount of brands that are going to be in Ferrari. Oh, we might get a Ferrari Monster kind of thing. I really was tempted to buy the Lewis Hamilton Monster in Tesco. Other supermarkets are available, of course. But I was really tempted today. I think the Mercedes driver will be Andrea Kimi Antonelli, which is a name you have not heard before.
Just once you started saying Kimi, are we going like Kimi Räikkönen?
So, Antonelli is an Italian. He's 17 years old. He's joined the Mercedes Juniors program, and he is skipping F3 altogether to go straight into F2.
I was going to say, but hold on, will he have a license then?
Yeah.
To do that? Because you know how like they've got to do certain things to get that, to get their like license, which I'm surprised at. I didn't think that was actually a thing, that you actually had to get so many points and races to get a license to actually drive an F1 car. I just presumed it was by the time you worked your way through the ranks, you just like an automatic thing. I didn't think you actually.
Well, you'll get the points in the F2 and it'll build up and things.
Yeah, but
like that
means then technically not all F2 drivers can go drive a Formula One car.
Well, once they get to a certain level of points, then they will. So yeah, that's the big news in the F1 world.
Yes.
Let's talk about the NFL.
Yes.
With the news in the NFL.
Which one do you... Will we go with the latest...
No,
let's
go in chronological.
The older news. Aye.
So, the Seahawks have found their head coach, and Mike McDonald, the Ravens defensive coordinator, will be the next head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. A lot of Seahawks fans are very happy about this. This is something that a lot of Seahawks fans have wanted for a long time, probably since Christmas Day, where the 49ers decided to destroy themselves against the Ravens defense and just were non-existent on offense there. And who is in the 49ers division?
Seattle Seahawks.
Yes. So they've gone, who can play against Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay and this new type of offense? This is the guy that does it. We want him. So his second interview with Seattle was on Monday, and the intention was to hire him if the second interview went well. So the news came out on Tuesday that he was being hired as the next head coach. And that left Washington as the only available spot.
Left.
And that was announced today.
Yes, to your joy.
To my joy.
And my possible joy in the future.
And I said this a couple of weeks ago on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I hope Dan Quinn goes to Washington so we can destroy them twice a year.
And it won't happen.
And that is still how I feel today. I am very happy about this. Very happy. I'm so happy about this.
Oh, no. I can see myself at some point, twice, sorry, not at some point, twice between September and January, me lying on the floor, laughing, weeing myself because the Commanders have beaten the Cowboys. I can see it. and I'm literally going to be rolling on the floor in laughter, and I'm going to enjoy it, and I will enjoy the pain.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, good luck. I can't see that happening.
No,
I can't see that happening. I'm just looking forward to the matchups next season to beat them. It's payback for not having the team prepared, just to go 0-2 against us next season. We beat him when he was the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons.
That's the Atlanta Falcons, though.
Yeah. They had a better team than the Commanders do.
This'll be your problem, though. You'll think, oh, we can't. We're like, oh, no, it'll be easy enough to do.
No, we'll know what to do. We'll know what to do. Remember, there's been about 3 seasons of practice. And he'll be well versed in where the offense is from those practices as well. But
exactly, though. You don't know what he's going to do.
He's got a brand new team that he has to deal with. And yeah.
But it's a different job.
Exactly. It's a different job. And although he made it to the Super Bowl, what happened in that Super Bowl?
They were up 28-3 in the third quarter and lost to the New England Patriots.
That's the one. Yeah, 28-3. One that we will never forget.
Comes up many, many times in a season.
Yes. And every week on this podcast, apparently. So, yeah, very happy with that news. I kind of expected it when Mick McDonald was announced in Seattle. I thought it's got to be Dan Quinn going to Washington. There was other couple of names there, but I didn't really feel they were going to be hired. So Mike McDonald goes to Seattle and Dan Quinn goes to the Washington Commanders, who were an answer to a question on Tipping Point this week. So the question was, which NFL team changed their name?
Oh,
in
yes,
2020, yeah. And it was the Packers, Dolphins, Commanders. So yeah, that was an interesting one.
I have one more comment about coaches.
Okay.
Although, has there been any news on Bill Belichick?
He does not have a job.
Ooh.
So the head coaches are all filled. So Bill Belichick and Mick Vrabel are the two names that have missed out from who were on jobs. So it's a very interesting one. It makes me a little bit scared, as I said last week, for next year. But there is also news that Bill Belichick would quite like to manage the New York Giants. Apparently that's come out recently. He said, I wouldn't mind that job. So
I'll take him if his first step is to sack, boot, whatever, to Daniel Jones.
What if he was to get rid of Daniel Jones and then say, Tom, you want to come back for one more?
I highly doubt it. I mean,
would you welcome Tom Brady back into the NFL to play for the New York Giants?
No.
And win a Super Bowl?
No.
And the Dallas Cowboys go 0-16 that season?
I mean, that'd be hilarious if you went 0-16, but I don't really see that happening. Something drastic, really drastic, I don't know, Texas is in 20,000 feet of snow, kind of drastic.
For 3 months.
Yes.
4 months, actually.
Something drastic would really have to change for the Dallas Cowboys to go 0-16. Even I know that. I mean, is it wishful thinking?
They're 0-17 now because we've got that 17th game.
So no, I don't see that ever happening, but no. I don't think I'll be happy with anybody until Daniel Jones is gone. I don't care what your background is or anything. Daniel Jones is done.
Well, you're not going to have much luck the way his contract is set up.
No, he's got years on it.
He's got another couple of years at least. Speaking of quarterback contracts, Dak Prescott's probably going to get an extension this offseason because that'll save us money against the cap. It's all fun and games, that salary cap. We can dive into that in another episode. Probably around draft time, that might be a good time to get into that. Or free agency, we'll see what we do. So yeah, that is the coaching news. Bill Belichick and Mike Vrabel don't get any jobs. A lot of rumours is they do not bring the culture that teams are looking for nowadays. So it's Tom Brady's dad said Bill Belichick treats it like a military operation, and Vrabel is pretty much the same vein, kind of way. So they're very much, you must do this, you must do this, you must do this. It's regimented, blah, 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 blah. Whereas a lot of the other cultures that you're seeing are very millennial.
I was going to say, there's a huge age gap between some of these coaches.
So you've got...
And actually, to be honest, with even some of the older coaches, there is a large age gap between them and Bill Belichick and that. So, yes, because if you think about it...
If you think of the Miami Dolphins...
That's
the Rams, the Packers, the 49ers. It's very much a, we're going to embrace everyone, be a people first culture. You know, very much, let's have fun. Especially the Dolphins. The Dolphins are like, yes, let's have fun, but do it right.
They're in Miami.
Exactly. You kind of got to, you got to go for that one.
Although I'm pretty sure Miami does have a military base. I don't know. Like, I mean, you can't, it doesn't seem, it wouldn't work well. I don't think the style of Miami, I don't think would work.
Obviously, you see on TikTok, like, millennial managers and all that things, and they're like, they're saying, why are you working? You finished at this time. Stop working, go home. And then the older people are like, is this a trick? Are you trying to get me in trouble? What's going on? You're not seeing those TikToks.
No, but then... Once
you're not in that age gap.
No, and pretty much once 3 o'clock comes, I finish my work. I guess
it's a very millennial thing of, oh, I finished my shift, I'm out.
No, I don't do free work.
This is a very millennial thing. This is a very millennial thing. A Gen Z thing is, I don't want to do that kind of thing. It's very like Gen Z in the workplace. I don't know why we're getting into this, but Gen Z in the workplace are very much
Gen
rules
Z,
don't apply kind of thing.
Is that the next group up from us?
Yes.
Not the older ones than us. Who are the older ones than us?
The boomers.
Is it the boomers?
Yeah.
I thought, oh yeah, because they are the baby boomers.
Yeah.
Was it the boomers the 60s?
Yeah. So. Aye.
No,
yeah, because it goes like 15 years-ish.
Yeah, there's... Oh, yeah, because I'm at the end of the millennials.
Yeah. Exactly.
A few years.
Yeah.
At the end of the millennials.
94. Oh, 30 this year.
Somebody's getting close to 40, though.
Yeah.
You're at the top end of the millennials.
All right, calm down. Boomer. Yeah, so that's just the culture. I think the teams aren't looking for that, and I think that was vital in the Titans' search, because obviously they'd said that they wanted to bring in a good culture. So yeah, I think that's probably the reason why they haven't been hired. But I'm very scared of next year with Bill Belichick being on the market.
Well, if you're saying that, then it might not go that way then. It might just be that Bill Belichick just goes into retirement. He might actually maybe have his year off and just go, nah, I've enjoyed it. But then again, his generation are also a hard generation to leave the workforce.
Yeah.
And I feel like as well as Bill Belichick hasn't voluntarily left the workforce... It has been a kind of...
Because he still wants to do it.
We think you should go kind of thing.
Yeah.
Rather than a, I'm deciding to leave, so you never know what might next season or mid-season, somebody might get sacked halfway through the season. Well,
this,
you never know.
This is true. I think the reason that he didn't get the Falcons job was of the power structure. I think he wanted too much power, and they were just like, we don't want to change our company structure for someone who might be here for 2 or 3 years. So that's why he didn't get the Falcons job from those reports. But yeah, again, other teams are just like, we're out because of the culture. So let's get into the games from last weekend. And let's start where we started on the Sunday in Baltimore, where the Kansas City Chiefs took on the number one seed, Baltimore Ravens.
Was it the number one seed?
Well, you wouldn't have known by watching the game.
No.
Yes, a very tight game, but not tight game at the same time.
No. Chiefs managed to definitely get to run away with it. What was the scoreline again?
17-10.
17-10, yeah.
But it didn't feel like a 17-10 game.
No.
It was one of these defensive masterstrokes, and this is why Mike McDonald? Blah, 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 blah. Da. Mike McDonald is going to Seattle because they were going to wait until after the Super Bowl if the Ravens had got there. But they didn't get there, so they're able to spin and do it now. And to be fair, defensively, the Ravens did a very good job. They kept the Kansas City Chiefs to 17 points. If you can keep Patrick Mahomes to 17 points in a game and don't win, then there's something wrong with your offense.
Yeah.
And the Kansas City Chiefs didn't score any points in the second half.
No, they didn't.
Because they didn't have to. They didn't have to score any points because they were winning.
Yeah, true.
And
I feel like I need to bring up my breakdown again. What breakdown?
The Ravens just wouldn't stop trying to give the game away.
No, there was... Yeah.
There was just so much. So obviously, one of the biggest plays in this one was Zay Flowers having a massive catch about 50 yards down the field. And then as when he's celebrating, he gets up, throws the ball down at the defender, and then just stands over the defender and he's like, yeah, this is what I do kind of thing.
Yep.
And the flag comes out for a taunting penalty. They go back 15 yards. And it's just
doesn't pick up
a
from
pointless
there.
Penalty.
I think as well that, like, as the game was ending, they kept going to Zay Flowers. They kept going to him because he had a towel over his head, like, before even the 2 minute warning, because I think he could see it.
Yeah.
That it was done. And I think a lot of Ravens fans could see that it was done. But it was the penalties as well.
They had a lot of penalties on there. I think they had, was it 8 or 9 penalties for about 95 yards that they ended up having. You've got the breakdown, you can see how many penalties they had. But yeah, it was just a lot of, and I think it all goes back to the start of the game, actually, because one of the Ravens players was throwing punches before the game had kicked off.
What do you mean by throwing punches? As in, like, as physical in punches?
Physical punches at Chiefs players. One of the Chiefs players. They had to get separated. And then there was the whole Justin Tucker, Travis Kelce, helmet gate kind of thing, where Justin Tucker was getting ready, doing his pre-game warm-up. And Justin Tucker always does it in the other half, away from his team, at the end zone. So he's just getting warmed up, and that's obviously the opponent's team. So he's there, he's doing his stretches, he's got his balls, he's got kicks and balls. The Chiefs are out there doing their warm-ups. Patrick Mahomes and Justin Tucker have a wee word. Justin's like, are you okay if I just stay here? Patrick's like, yeah, just move out of the way a little bit. So he moves like a foot to the side. And then like at that point, Travis is like, I don't think that's like far enough away. So he just goes in, chucks the balls away, picks up his helmet, chucks that over, and just says, like, get out of the way. And then Justin Tucker's just kind of like, all right, okay, fair enough. And he just smiles, like he's not fazed at all. He's just like, whatever, I'm not falling for anything. But, and obviously this was mentioned on Good Morning Football, they were like, none of the Ravens players came to his defence. And I was like, well, oh, they're all the way at the other side of the field. They probably don't even know what's going on. Like, they probably just went, oh, Justin's warming up, that's fine. We'll focus on our own warm-up. Imagine if they did see it and they were like, what's going on? And they came over and they had a massive brawl.
There would probably be a brawl before the game.
And then you would probably have players disqualified from the game before it even started. Then it would have been an entirely different game. Imagine if Travis Kelce was disqualified for fighting in the AFC Championship game. Oh, that would have been... It would not have been, well received. It would have been funny, but not well received.
You were right with 8 penalties.
8 penalties.
Eight penalties for the Ravens, 3 for the Chiefs.
So a big difference there.
And only one interception throughout the whole game. And that was obviously Ravens through the interception. So yeah. So what we got? Total yards. Ooh, 319 for the Kansas City Chiefs. And 336 for the Ravens.
What about the time of possession? This was a big one.
Oh, hold on, let me see if I can find that. Time of possession, yes. This is one thing that definitely doesn't help them. Kansas City Chiefs, 37.5 minutes. 22.5 minutes for the Ravens. Now, technically, if you're scoring points in those 22.5 minutes... that's fine. If you can go down, score points, field goals, touchdowns, obviously more touchdowns the better, then technically sometimes time of possession doesn't really matter as long as then you can make sure then you're backing up the team in the defensive line, which they were doing. The Ravens' defense were doing a really good job in that. So then technically if the offense were getting those points, then actually they might have won.
Yeah, I think the Ravens got just overwhelmed by the moment. I think they were too emotional and they tried to do too much. And obviously there's one massive play that was intercepted here. This will be the interception where it's third and... like 7 or something, and they're at the 30 odd yard line, so they don't have to worry about like a massive play because they can get a field goal and get some points on the board and then make it a 4-point game, you know, make it a little bit closer. And Lamar tries a big deep ball down the field into triple coverage. So the wide receiver has 3 Kansas City Chiefs defenders on him. And it's only going to end one way. And that's where the interception comes in.
Yeah.
That was a big one. If he just goes, like, I don't have anything apart from this player who has 3 defenders on him, it's very unlikely he's going to get the ball. I'm just going to see if I can get a couple of yards on the ground or dump it off to someone to run. A big thing is... the amount of runs that the Ravens ran during the game wasn't a lot. They moved away from the run game towards the pass game.
Yeah, true.
Because I don't know why they moved away from the run game, because they were able to make decent gaps, decent yardage when they were running the ball. But they went to the pass game and you're only down by 1 touchdown. So if they came out, ran the ball, had a bit more variety in offense.
Yeah. Because that's the thing is Jackson's known for being a runner as well. He is quite limbo and he will run. And you can see that. He will do it. He will go for it. But no, he was quite stationary and getting caught in that pocket as well. So.
And I don't know if that was a reaction to the Kansas City Chiefs pass rush or just their run defense. But again, the run was working. They were able to make the yardage. So there was no point to really run away from it. And you're only down by one score. So you don't have to worry about the time on the clock because you can run the ball. As long as you have the ball, we go back to the time of possession. They had 22 minutes within the game.
Which almost seems like nothing.
It's a third of the game that they had the ball for. And again, if you're running the ball, you're going to have more time of possession because the clock still runs. But, you know, if you're incomplete, obviously sometimes clock stops. Not all the time, but most of the time. You've got those stoppages. It's just, yeah. And the Ravens didn't, like, give the game away as such. Like, the Chiefs won the game.
Yeah.
Like, they were in control. They were able, it was nice and easily controlled. But if the Ravens hadn't made the mistakes, they could have won the game.
Yeah.
And I think that's different. That's where the interpretation needs to come in, of which we'll get to in the next game. So I feel a little bit different on that one.
Yes.
So, yeah. Not a lot more to say about this one. Kansas City Chiefs win 17-10. I know that you want to have a rant about a pop star in this one, so
it would only be for the fact the amount of things that I've seen about Travis Kelce's girlfriend. I've seen so many like crafty things for like heat press things for like I'm supporting the Chiefs girlfriend, things like that, and I'm in my Chiefs era.
Yeah.
And I'm going,
it's quite fun.
Some of it is quite funny. But the amount of them that was coming up on Monday through like on my Facebook, and I'm going, wow. Because a lot of the things as well, a lot of the groups that I like in my craft and things, they all are from America.
Yeah.
So obviously it was all going crazy for like Taylor Swift, because obviously, well, the fact is you make something with Taylor Swift crafty wise, it's gonna sell. So yeah, it was all to do with that. To be honest, they didn't really pay too much attention to her. I didn't even think the camera panned to her.
So during the game, she was on camera for about 35 seconds.
Maybe a bit too much.
Out of a 3-hour broadcast.
How many other family members are shown for 35 seconds? Technically,
35 seconds out of 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. But she's also technically not a family member. Although, yes, she is dating him. Yeah, but like,
they go through a lot of celebrities at games. And they're like, oh, there's a celebrity there. Now, obviously, this is a celebrity who is in a high-profile relationship with a player who is playing. That's why she's attending the games. But, yeah, 35 seconds is nothing.
Okay, yeah.
Stop. Do you know how much money she has generated for the NFL this season?
Probably around $50
million. $331 million. That's how much is calculated to Taylor Swift.
How?
Generating money for the NFL.
By doing...
From, I'm presuming, jersey sales, tickets... People wanted to watch things.
Would that go to the Chiefs, not the NFL?
Everything goes into a big pot and it gets put between the teams. Yeah, it's a charity, remember? It's a non-profit charity.
So then you're telling me that every game, they sell tickets for every game, the profits for those games get put into a pot. They're not sent to, like... Well, do you know, like, here, that's the home team that keeps the majority of the profits?
I think the ticket sales for the actual games are for the club. But
the merch, merch I can understand merch sales, because technically then teams wouldn't have to worry about doing their own merch and all that.
Because it's all...
If that's done by somebody else.
It's all done by the league. Because that's why you've got the NFL shop. And then you have all the teams in the NFL shop. And then you go there.
I just assumed it was streamlined easier that way.
Well, yeah, but you've also got a central point where they do all the work and they do all the prep. So all the money goes into that pot. And then and all the advertising money goes into that pot. So obviously, if you've got a Taylor Swift on the broadcast, you're going to have more people watching, which means the advertiser will want to get in there. And you can be like, oh, you need to give us more. And now, obviously, the Super Bowl adverts will go up in price because...
You probably find actually they've already been locked in for this year already.
But
prior,
they'll be able to go
anything,
up.
If anything, they're all contract. They'll all have contracts for like 10, 20 years. If not, no doubt Coca-Cola will have a standard contract in there for like the next 100 years or something.
So there's yeah. So 331 million is what they estimated. Income has been for Taylor Swift just being interested in the NFL.
I wonder what will happen when she breaks up with him and makes a song from it.
They're in love. They're going to get married. If you've not heard this rumor. But once the Chiefs win the Super Bowl and Travis Kelce is named Super Bowl MVP, he's going to propose to her on the field. That's the new script that's been written.
I'm starting to feel sorry for this dude. This dude's just going for heartbreak, isn't he?
No, I think it's legit, and I think they're quite happy. Based on everything that I've seen, I've not like dived into it. I've not been like, oh my god, I need to know everything about this. But from what I've seen about it, it seems like it is a legit relationship, and they're quite happy together.
It will be interesting for the fact that when she goes on tour.
Yes.
And when he comes back, because so far there's not been a clash in scheduling, but she's going on a world tour. Is that world tour? Or is it European tour?
So she restarts her tour because she's got... So there's another Taylor Swift thing about the Super Bowl where she's in Japan.
I've not researched this stuff.
No, it just comes up. And, you know, you had it all on the craft site. I had all the, is Taylor Swift making the Super Bowl on TikTok? So yes, the answer is yes. She can make the Super Bowl in Las Vegas from Tokyo because she has a show in Tokyo on the 10th. So
hold on. She's going from Tokyo back to Vegas.
Yes.
To then go back to where?
Probably Japan again.
I really hope she's not giving out any green energy vibes or saying save the turtles.
Well, they're...
Because by Lord, a lot of people will start going after her. She's going from one side of the world to the other because there is a...
Well, technically,
there is a semi-short way over. It's not like for us, we can only go one way to Japan.
Yeah.
You can go back a quick way, but it's... Yeah. A long flight.
It's 13 hours between Tokyo and Las Vegas. It's a 13-hour flight.
I hope she can sleep on a flight because she'd have to finish her set, jump on a plane back.
So,
and she's only making it back because of time difference.
This is exactly it. So Tokyo is 11 hours ahead of
Vegas.
So finish at 11, flight at midnight, gets in at 8:30 at night, because it's a 13-hour one, at night, Vegas time, on the Saturday.
On the Saturday?
Yeah, because, again, the 11-hour time difference.
Okay, still.
So you're only losing the 2 hours in the flight. Technically. So it works out. So she gets into Vegas in the evening on the Saturday so she can have a sleep and be ready for the Sunday. And that's how she makes the Super Bowl. There is, going back to your green energy vibes, there is another thing where she's purposely done things for Google search results to cover her flight path tracker thing. So there's ones where you can check your, like, how many private planes have flown and stuff and what their carbon footprint is. And she's done some kind of project or something, named it in such a way that it would cover her carbon footprint on a Google search result.
No, don't work that way.
That's...
It's like the same word there where they go, like, the football is going to be net zero by such and such because we're building these eco-friendly stadiums, but yet we've used so much carbon beforehand. No. It don't work that way. You can't just suddenly go, oh, we're suddenly offsetting it, because when it actually starts, it's net zero, but yet we've put millions of carbon into the atmosphere already. No, sorry.
Well, then nothing's going to be net zero ever, because we always put carbon dioxide into the...
No. It would gradually, but there are certain things where you wouldn't have to. Like, Paris is slightly capping it back for the next Olympics. Or is it the Europe?
Oh, the B1M video is coming in handy here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're using previously used stadiums, which, yeah. I mean, makes sense. They are obviously building some...
Or temporary
buildings. They're using some temporary ones, and then there are... revamping ones to make them more energy efficient, yeah. Which, okay, yes, technically then yes, there will nothing be ever that's net zero, but I feel like it's also cheating by saying, well, I've just done this so I can do this.
Fair enough. I highly recommend that B1M video about the Paris Olympics and how they're
I'm interested to see this water show thing that would
yeah, that'll be quite cool. Right, let's move on to the NFC Championship game. The disappointment that we both had. I bet you, because you were asleep when this game was on, so you would have seen the scoreline in the morning.
Yes.
What were your thoughts in the morning when you saw the scoreline?
I seen the scoreline and went, what the... And then went into the breakdown and went, how could they do that?
Right, okay.
Literally, that is what I did.
Okay.
I seen that scoreline because I didn't think, if anything, I did not expect it to be this close. I at least thought it was going to be at least a field goal,
yeah.
Not 3 points. I thought at least 7, if not more, for San Francisco. So then when I went to the breakdown and seen the breakdown and went, what did yous do? I was like, nah. I was like, how could they lose it? How? How had it gone so badly? The fact that in the first quarter, San Francisco, nothing. Then they got 7. Then they got 17 to then get 10 to obviously round out the game, to which the Lions didn't get any in that third quarter.
No,
so it was
they didn't.
All about that third quarter, and I was like, what on earth happened? And then obviously when I came home, you were like, yeah, they just let it go. Like,
yes,
too many and decision making's all wrong. What was it, a large fumble as well?
So there was a fumble as well,
the touchback didn't help either.
So a lot of things happened in this game that went right for Detroit.
Yeah, they were first and second half. That was beautiful. The opening drive of the game, fantastic. I can't actually wish these
four
games
plays,
were the other way around.
4 plays on that first drive, 75 yards, touchdown.
I wish it was the other way around. I actually wish I'd got to actually see this Lions game like actually live than having to just... Although, to be honest, I watched the hour version of the... highlights, because obviously
on
it was
Game Pass.
Was it on Game Pass?
Yeah, sponsorship opportunity, please.
So obviously it's a little bit longer than I got to see more of it than normally, like the 12 or 5 minutes that I normally watch. So it was quite good to have that, because obviously you're just missing out little bits, the pauses, all that kind of stuff that drags out technically to make it like a 3-hour game. But yeah. It was a fantastic start for them. I was like, they've got this. I was watching it and going, they've got it. It was as if that literally the scoreline hadn't actually even happened. And then the third quarter came.
Yeah, halftime, I was like, oh, this is going to be a great result for me.
24-7. 24-7.
I was like,
I mean,
I'm loving this
who
one.
Who would have had that?
I had my Freddie LeGrand music ready to celebrate at the end of the game. I was like, I'm going to put a story up. Put your hands up for Detroit. We love this city. That was going to be the song that I had.
That's so cheesy.
Every time Detroit do something right, that is the song that I like to play.
Not some Eminem.
No, it has to be the Put Your Hands Up for Detroit.
Okay.
Because it has Detroit in the title, yeah. And you need to get that in there just to be like, yes, come on,
you
Detroit.
You tell me Eminem doesn't have a song that says Detroit in it.
Oh, well, you can have a look through his discography and tell me.
Oh, I
if he does. yeah, so the third quarter comes and the 49ers get the ball to start the second half. They go down, they kick a field goal to start the second half. The 49ers kicker, born in Michigan, parents, Lions fans. So he's probably a Lions fan as well, but plays for the 49ers. So that would have been a very interesting one for him. But his mindset, probably why he missed a kick in the first half, because he was like, oh my God. Like,
he was a bit
thing.
Wide.
Yeah, rookie kickers. That's the thing. So the Lions have the ball after the 49ers score a field goal to start the second half. To make it 24-10. Now, they go down the field. They keep on going down the field. They're about the 35-yard line. They go for it on third down. They don't get it. So it comes to a fourth down. Now, you're up by 14 points here. And Detroit have been aggressive all season long. So they've been going for it on fourth down. There's most attempts of fourth down to go for it than any other team.
Which, I mean, I like to see because sometimes it's boring just to see them punt it.
And obviously,
put some effort into it.
You can't
Come
fault
on.
It because they've made it to the NFC Championship game, so it's clearly worked for them. But at the same time, you're up by 14 points.
Yeah, why not just...
So take the field goal, take the 3 points, you're then up by 17, and you go... You've scored a field goal. We've scored a field goal. Go again. We're just going to keep on matching you with whatever you do. That mind game is there. Or when you plan that, you go, oh, we're going to have to go and score a touchdown. And then you get a bit more nervous. Brock Purdy's stats, first half to second half, quite the contrast. He's got a 49% completion rate. Or no, quarterback rate in the first half, and then it's 87 in the second half. It's such a difference in how he was playing. And I don't know if it was just the Lions were, we've got the lead, we've got this kind of thing. And they just kind of let it slip away. So they go for it on fourth down, they don't make it. They give the 49ers the ball back. Who are now down by 2 scores instead of 3 scores.
Yep.
They've gone, oh, we've got this in the bag. They go down, they score a touchdown. It's 24-17. Now, on this drive, this is the drive where I knew the 49ers were going to win this game. Because there was a 52-yard pass on this drive that should have been intercepted. Bounces off the defender's face mask and Brandon Ayuk catches the ball at the 7-yard line. That's the luck that the 49ers had in this one. And they go in, they score a touchdown. Next play is Brandon Ayuk. He gets the touchdown.
Yeah, because he got back, did not get back up. Was that play that he got back up and ran in? I think that was something else, actually.
That's something else. We'll get to that. And then this is next drive. So they're now down by 7 points. And this is the fumble drive for the Lions.
Yep.
So they fumble when they're running the ball. It's a forced fumble. Arika Armstead. It's a very good play by the defense here. So the defense wakes up for the 49ers. So they go, we need to stop the run. And they stop the run. They get the ball back. So... And again, this is where we say the Lions did lose this one because the 49ers won it because the Lions lost it.
Yeah. Yes.
Because of the decision making of the coaching staff to go for it on fourth down and not take the points. Obviously, you let the team back into it. The fumble recovery by the defense sets them up nicely in here. So they're only down by seven now because you've not kicked that field goal. They've gone down, they scored the touchdown on the back of it. You have another basically turnover here because it's a turnover on downs. It's still technically a turnover because you're giving up that possession. Then you set them up nicely to tie it up. They go down. Who gets in the backfield? End zone. Chris McCaffrey, second touchdown of the day. 24-24. Now the pressure's on the Lions. They get the ball. Again, they're going down. We get to another fourth down. Again, they go for it. A dropped ball in the middle of the field. This is where...
I was about to scream at the telly. I think if it had been live, I'd have probably been screaming at the telly going, why? Why are you doing this?
That's it. And I get that's the philosophy. This is the team that we are. This is what we do. But at the same time, you need to be smart. You can't just be like, this is what we always do, so we do it. Part of the coaching part of it is adapting to the situation that you're in. This is why I'm going to take it back to my Cowboys fandom. This is why I hate Jason Garrett. He would never adjust at like halftime. He didn't believe in halftime adjustments. He said there is no such thing as halftime adjustments. Well, the 49ers in this game proved that there's halftime adjustments.
Yes, because they came out
and they went, what are we going to do in this second half to win this game? And it just shows you the difference in the coaching styles of people who are like, this is who we are, this, we're being stubborn, this is what we're going to do. Obviously, it's worked in Detroit. It's been very good. They just need to take the lesson away from this one to go. When you have a lead, just extend the lead and keep adding points.
Yeah, I think sometimes as well you have to realise you're also what game you're in. Sometimes, yes, in divisional games, you can take that risk. You can do the fourth down because, yes, okay, yes, if you lose the game, you can rewatch things, you can learn from the game, you can change it up for next week. You're at the conference game. You lose, you're done. It's the end of your season. So, yes, actually, they should have then gone for points. It should have just been going, go for points. Yes, it'd have been fantastic if it was constantly 7 points, 7 points.
It's never going to be that way. You're never going to get every touchdown that you can get. So take the points when they're on offer.
Don't take the risk, especially this, like, importance of a game.
Yeah.
It is the second most important game of a season for teams. Why take the risk?
And you've gone on record to say the first team to 30 wins the game. You're on 24 points. You don't need to add a turn. You're 24-10. Again, it goes back to the first one. 24-10. You're up by 14 points. If you take 3 points here, you have 3 points to 30. You're up by 17. You put all the pressure on them. You're 3 points away from your target to get there. The game's completely different. Fair enough. Go for it on that one. It's forgivable. The first one's forgivable.
Because you had time.
You had a load of time and you're like, this is fine, we're going on. The second one, can't forgive that one. That's the mistake. And you go... It's 24-17 now. They're down by 7. Let's extend this. Let's take the points. We'll go up by 10. Again, we're 3 points away from our goal. Puts the pressure on them. They need to get 2 scores now, so they need 2 drives. You probably don't have them scoring a touchdown so easily as they did, because obviously you've not gone for a fourth down, so they have to start at their own 25-yard line. So they've got a big drive to go.
Your defense runs down the clock as well.
Yeah. Then you're not going to be a position where you're struggling and you're having to get the ball down, so you're probably going to have better ball security. First fumble is probably not going to happen.
you're not going to give up another touchdown for them deke-wise. It all comes down to that field goal and just not taking that field goal. Now, as I said, the point where I knew the 49ers were going to win this game was when the ball came off the defender's face mask and Brandon Ayuk caught it.
Luck.
It's
pure luck.
It's one of these games where, you know, that's what happens. Like, and we talked about it earlier, but the 28-3 game, Julian Edelman makes a catch, which he fumbles, but he catches it just before it touches the ground. It's a great play. It's a great catch. And at that point, I was like, this is, luck is on their side. They're going to get this. It's those kind of things. The Seahawks-Patriots Super Bowl, on that final drive that they have, there's a play to Luke Wilson, the tight end, and or is it Will Disley? It's one of the tight ends for the Seahawks. He goes up, he catches it with one hand, but it comes back in field. He falls down, it hits his leg, and then he catches it in bounds. And that's like a 30-yard play that they have at the 2-minute warning. And you're like, the Seahawks can't lose this game now. And the only way that they lose it is because they throw an interception in the end zone at the 1-yard line, which you've got Marshawn Lynch, just run it in. But that's the pressure that Bill Belichick put on Pete Carroll. He was like, I'm not taking time out. You just run your play, get it off there. And then they're like, oh, just get it down, go. Mind games. But yeah, this one, back on topic. The third quarter was the game changer. The 49ers win. Fourth quarter comes in. The Lions get a bit more back into the game there. So obviously, the 49ers get a field goal, they get a touchdown. They're up by 34-24.
Yep.
Now, the Lions, they've got the ball to basically end the game. They're going down, they need 10 points to
at least
take
tie it
to overtime. I would still think they would probably try and get all 14 points. They get down fairly easily to the red zone. I think, again, the defense is like, we're up by 10. They don't have a lot of time left. We're pretty much solid here. The Lions are going for a pass on first and goal, incomplete. Pass on second, incomplete. And then third, they run the ball, and that's incomplete. They take a timeout here. Now, they said on the broadcast, you can run the ball here, but you'll probably have to take a timeout because of all the bodies. It'll be difficult to get the spot and get the players up from it. The play, he runs it to the side of the tackle, the right tackle, before he's tackled. There's no one else there. They didn't have to take the timeout because he was back up. There was no issue spot in it. They didn't have to worry about all the bodies getting there. They were able just to like take another 5-10 seconds off the clock. Here, just let it run, get the snap in, go. But they take the timeout. Now, they scored the touchdown on the fourth down here from like the 1-yard line. So you would obviously go for it. Plus, you're down by 10. You need
have
that
to
touchdown.
Go for it.
So they get that. Obviously, Jameson Williams, this is the one where he catches it, tweaks his knee, and then kind of stands up awkwardly with his ankle kind of rolled and hobbles off the field. Kick the conversion. So they've got about 56 seconds left on the clock. Oh, it comes down to an onside kick here to get the ball back. The ball doesn't go the 10 yards before the Lions touch it. 49ers recovered it there. Now, as I said, you've still got the time left on the clock. You have your timeouts, but you only have two of them because you've taken a timeout on the offense. If you have three timeouts here, they can't just kneel the game out because you can take a timeout, timeout, timeout. You've got like 50 seconds left. Fourth down, you've only got 40 seconds of the shot clock. So there would be 10 seconds left of you getting the ball. minimum. But because they've taken that first time out, they only have two. So they can only stop it twice. So once they run the ball on the third down, game's over. Because that just runs the clock and they don't have to do anything else. And that is how...
It was painful to watch at the end. It was a painful watch to the end.
It was.
I'd still love to have actually watched it live, but...
But kudos to the Lions and Ravens for making it to the championship games. For the Ravens, first time since 2013. I was wrong last week. They hadn't made it back since they won the Super Bowl. And to the Lions for the first time ever, apparently, in the Super Bowl era.
Yes, because it was 1957 when they... I think it was 57.
In the 50s.
It was in the 50s. For the NFL conference or whatever it was called.
So the NFL championship game where they beat the Browns, and the week before that one to get into the championship game, they had beaten the 49ers. So it was there. It was within their grasp, but they were unable to complete it. The 49ers come back and win. Again, they advance to the Super Bowl. This is the 12th Super Bowl that the 49ers have been in. They have won 5 and lost.
Sorry, I missed.
6.
What was the first number? 11, did you say?
Yes.
So, yeah, if they won 6, they've lost 5.
Yeah.
And it's a rematch, is it? No.
They won 5, they lost 6. This is a rematch of 2019, which was a very good Super Bowl. You didn't like the Super Bowl in Miami in 2019, but I thought it was really good. The 49ers got a lead in the first half, but they weren't able to capitalize, and the Chiefs came back in the second half and won that one. A play that will forever haunt the 49ers fans was Jimmy Garoppolo trying to throw a deep ball and missing his wide receiver, which would have sealed the game.
I feel like I need to go back and watch that game, because as we all know, I don't remember anything, so I can't actually remember that game.
Well, we can have a rewatch of that one.
We watched some highlights of that game.
Yeah, we can watch the whole game if you want.
Nah, alright, we'll just watch some highlights.
I don't know if we'll be able to watch the highlights. We'll have to watch the full game, I think.
There'll be highlights somewhere of it.
Yeah, but we could just watch the full game.
We'll be fiddle-tiddling forward then.
Probably.
It's 3 hours.
I can't even remember who the halftime show was, 2019.
Was that not... Oh, Bruno Mars.
Was it the Bruno Mars, the Coldplay and Beyonce thing that we almost got Barry banned from Facebook for?
I believe so. So was it 2019? Oh, that's the winner. I don't need the winner. Halftime show. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because that was the one that was in Atlanta.
So, you'll obviously know who I am going for in the...
A great halftime show either, if I remember correctly. If I can semi-remember, mainly because of the comment that was made.
Wasn't anything bad, just to put that out there.
No, it wasn't bad.
It was just funny. Yeah, obviously, it's no big surprise, rooting for the Chiefs. You have a decision to make, because you don't want the Chiefs to win, but do you want the 49ers to win?
I don't know. That's I don't have question. Anything bad against the 49ers.
Well, you should do.
Well, technically, I should do. No. I've got a beef with McCaffrey. Forget it. I don't have a beef with the 49ers.
Just
I've
Christian got a beef with McCaffrey. Because when you had him in your fantasy teams, he was always injured.
Yeah.
Then you went, I'm not going to take him. He's injury prone. And he's played a full season.
Lovely. And do you know why? It's because I didn't have him. Was it 2 seasons in a row? I had him and he was doing fantastically. Then got injured. And I went, I'm going to keep him. I'm going to have him as my keep. And then he got injured right at the start of the season. And was pretty much out for the whole of the season. That was his first year with San Fran. Because obviously originally it was with the Panthers.
Yes, and 2022, so when he got traded in 2022, obviously he was playing in Carolina that year and then traded mid-season. And you could see the difference in...
Oh, yes, he was
so... And that straight away.
It was beautiful.
So that year, Carolina, he had 85 attempts for 393 yards and 2 touchdowns. Then when he got to San Fran, he had 159 attempts for 746 yards and 6 touchdowns. He actually, his highest touchdown season came in 2019 for Carolina, where he had 15. He's got 14 this season. So I would think he'll probably break that with the Super Bowl, but...
Quite possibly. I mean, the man knows how to find the holes. Like, literally. When you rewatch the games and the highlights, because obviously it's slowed down as well, you can see him. It's like he can see them. You see how that is like passing of the Red Sea. It just opens for him. He just knows, like, you have to have a really good... offensive line to make sure you create no holes, which is pretty much impossible just because of the way you tackle off when the ball snapped. But he always manages to find them and he just swoops straight through. Also, it takes a lot for the man to be tackled.
Yeah, that's one of the things.
He knows
that
how to stay on his feet.
I
feel like sometimes maybe he's taken some hints off what was it? The Rocks, the game where he's doing practicing the ballerina.
Yeah, that's one of the things the 49ers have going for them, that their playmakers are very difficult to tackled. So
Deebo
Samuel,
feet.
Christian McCaffrey, they're very fast. They're just easy to get past people. Yeah, they've got a lot of great teams. Great players on that team. It's very annoying. And the reason I don't like them is because they have 5 Super Bowls and they're going for 6. And I don't want them to get 6.
No, because they'd be doing better than the Cowboys.
Yeah. And then everyone goes on about... This is another thing that annoys me. Is they go on about the Cowboys not winning it since 95.
Yes, but
the 49ers haven't won it since 94.
What? Have you been back to the Super Bowl since 95?
No. But is it not worse to get there and not win it?
Not necessarily. I think it'd be worse to actually not get there. You are getting there. Okay, yes, you're not winning them, but at least you're getting there. You're showing your fans you can get there. Where can you get to? But I know I can't really say much, but technically
I've won
the
divisional round of the playoffs is where we can get to. That's where we can get to. But
have you literally got nothing above the divisional games? You're not being to like the conference or anything like that?
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe you are a jinx for your team.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. It's just, yeah, they've not won it since 94. So... You know, they can't be like, oh, Cowboys have won a Super Bowl since 95. Like,
you do know what's going to happen is the...
They're going to win.
49ers are going to win.
Yeah, and then they're all going to be smug about it and be like, oh my God, we're so good.
I might become a San Fran fan.
No, you can't.
Why?
It's against the rules.
No, they haven't won it. They would have won it in 30 years, so I'm going
to
go with
the
that.
Rule. The rule is you need to go to the Browns or the Jags. That's the rule.
Again, we said last week, I might take the Jags.
Well, there we go. Right. I think we've covered enough topics in this one. I think we can say bye-bye to the people for this week.
Yes.
Would you like to take it away?
I don't know. What do we say? Thank you for listening. You can find us on, I believe you're on X.
No, we've deleted that app.
We deleted X.
Yeah, can't be bothered with it. Wasting too much time on it. So that's deleted.
Oh, and you're wasting too much time on X.
Yeah, and I deleted a few apps that waste time. So,
I'm surprised, to be honest. It's the quickest way to find news.
It is. It's been difficult, but like today I misheard a lyric in a song, and I was like, I need to share that with people. But I was like, oh, I'll go on Twitter, but and I couldn't because I don't have the app installed. And I was like, ah, well, it's not that important anyway. But Threads is what we're using.
Okay.
So this offensive line on Threads.
Instagram,
we're on there. We have a YouTube channel, which will be
more probably next season.
A bit. More.
We're on the TikTok.
We are on the TikTok.
This week we will have Football Baby picking his team.
Yes.
So we'll have his team. He will have his team for the Super Bowl. I'm going to laugh if it's the 49ers. I might just smother it in peanut butter maybe for him.
No, there's no cheating allowed on that one. No, it's not. No. Yeah, so that's the social channels that we have.
And then you can hear us where you pick up your podcasts.
Yeah. We have a poll out on Threads. We'll probably put another one up. Who do you think's going to win the Super Bowl? Let us know. Chiefs, 49ers. Who do you want to win the Super Bowl as opposed to who do you think? There's always a good one. What do you think of the head coaching things? Just interact with us. Just message us. Tell us things.
Just say hi.
Yeah. Just let us know that you're there. And we're not screaming into the void. No, we're not screaming into the void. We do have listeners. So that's always a good feeling. Yeah. A very natural way to end the episode too.
So yes, thank you for listening.
Bye. See you next week.